Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 262, part 2, the conclusion to Vessels. Today is Sunday, October 14th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
But can you imagine the self-righteous elder son standing at the gate, sweaty and mean and stinking and demanding their glory? Clots, let's say, of dung hanging off of their shoes. A list of I don'ts, probably in one hand, and a list of I dids in the other. I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I did this, and so on. And so he could have destroyed all mankind, but millions upon millions upon millions were saved for his glory. Now, if I could have remained a drunk, his mercy didn't come along, didn't see me in my depraved state, didn't pull me up out of this miry clay and shape me, I'd probably still hold alcohol. A one-quart jug. But the Bible says he constrained me to receive it. In other words, he made me. It was a free gift. Oh, God doesn't go against your will. Yes, but he has a way of making you change your will. My will be done. Do you think God has a way of changing you? He won't go against your will, but he will come up with a way to change your will. Yeah. And so how many have learned that they are entirely in God's hand? I have. Have you finally found out that it is first by an act of His will you were saved? But if you're lost, it's your own fault because you did not receive mercy. Have you ever come to see yourself naked and wretched and miserable and poor? Have you ever said to yourself, if He saves me, it's got to be because of His mercy? I pray you all come to that spot. Even you legalist. You come to the door of grace, and when man is brought there, he is not far from the kingdom of God. And so we all must acknowledge His sovereignty. Oh, a person said, well, God is an absolute God. He absolutely hates sin. I says, that's true. He changed His mind. He decided to give love and mercy where we didn't merit it at all. I think we all, I said, should acknowledge His sovereignty and admire grace in the sovereignty. Well, let's go on. The Scripture says His chosen ones are a vessel. Now, we all know that a vessel is nothing more than a receiver. Nothing more. Your vessels? Did you know you have nothing to give unless you receive something into your vessel? Nothing. A vessel is not a fountain. It's not a creator of water, but a container and a holder of that which is poured into it. I wonder sometimes what's poured into some of these vessels. I saw a thing on a TV. It was a Chicago talk show thing where another brother in Christ got into this thing and started kneeling a family, the Baker family, kneeling them. And they even used Scripture. According to certain scriptures, we did this. No. No, friends, that is not mercy. So I'm beginning, and I don't care what, you know, the causes or what. See, the whole total thing here is that we have to show mercy so that the world can be satisfied that we serve a merciful God. I mean, it is a three-ring circus, and the only one that I saw that had any kind of mercy, really, that spoke up. See, if you don't give out mercy and don't speak up, well, what good is your vessel? Oh, I'm full of mercy. No, you're sort of a pot, tip me over, pour me out, sort of a simple. When you have an opportunity to give mercy, you better give it. When you have an opportunity to say, well, if you be without sin, cast the first stone. We have opportunities to show mercy now. We are vessels of mercy. What are we going to do with it? Allow it to become stagnant? You don't use it, you lose it. I take this arm and say, I'm going to save this right arm. Then 10 years from now, I'll take it out. And this one's kind of wearing out, and then I'll put this one up. You know, it'll happen, it'll rot right off my body. What you don't use, you lose. If you don't use compassion and love and mercy, you lose it. You become hard and bitter, and that's what I'm seeing. There's only one man I really seen that, you know, that's up there. Let's say up there, well, you know what I mean. I'm just using that as a figure of speech. That's Oral Roberts. That really used mercy. And of course, there's a lot of other folks out there, but I'm saying right now the world is watching and looking and waiting for mercy. And if we don't allow ourselves to be filled and pour out mercy on our own, what have we got to give the world? No, we have to be not of this world as Christ Jesus is not of this world. And now he sat with sinners. No, we are receivers and nothing more. What have you received? It's like a milk bottle. What has it got in it? Milk. Moo juice. Milk. Pepsi bottle. What has it got in it? Pepsi. What do you expect out of it? Pepsi. Or Coke for equal time. Or a teapot, or a coffee pot. When you pour out coffee, do you want tea? Old Chop? Do you? No, you want Jamocha juice. Coffee! And when you come to a preacher, you want love and mercy. Right? You don't want somebody like this. You've failed. To hell with you, sir. What kind of a vessel are you? What other kind of a vessel can we be? And the Bible says we are vessels of mercy, chosen of four. Or a soup bowl. Do you want to have a bowl of soap in there? No, those that are vessels simply hold what's in there. You're only receivers. Maybe you're receiving the wrong message. Maybe you're receiving legalities. Huh? Maybe they're tearing up all these laws in this cauldron of vile cauldron of seething, envy and jealousies and meanness and negativeness, and they're stirring it with their little end of their mallet. And that's all they had to give away. Methinks, who fashioned that jug? What kind of a spirit is that? No. We simply are receivers and receivers only. At one time we were full of self. But grace empties us out. Did you ever get emptied? Totally void of anything, totally empty. When empty, they are set in the way of God's goodness. Empty, totally emptied out. I mean, come to the end of your road, the end of your jug. You know what happens when they set themselves before the Lord? He fills them to the brim with his loving kindness. And so they become his vessels of mercy. And all God asks the sinner to do to be saved is to be a receiver. Receive me. Salvation I freely give. All who call upon my name. He even gives us the power to receive and even shapes our vessels through circumstances in our life that we would be emptied out, that we would be able and willing to cry out mercy, and even puts those words in our mouth so we can cry it out, and then he puts his loving kindness in, and that's the whole gospel. See, if it was any other kind of gospel, everybody would be contending with one another, like you see a lot of it. No, competing, wrestling scriptures to their own destruction. No, all we do is hold out an empty hand and then take all you want. And even in the Bible, he says, stretch forth thine hand and be made whole and be healed. And that has a double meaning. Stretch forth your hand and receive my healing power. Today you are healed. Today you are saved. Open up that hand. He doesn't say come with your mouth full of excuses and full of denials and full of I'm really going to try statements, but simply open up your empty, vile mouth and I will fill it with my salvation. I will put the words in your mouth and in your heart. The words I speak, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. I'll even jam them in your mouth. See, there can be no other gospel. Or we, as treacherous as we are, would find a way, some kind of a way, invent a way. So God has to take away all of our creative inventiveness. He didn't say, come show me your works, your filled granaries, your much possessions. No, come confess your poverty and I will fill every empty chamber of your many-roomed heart. But only come and let it be empty and I will fill it. I will pour out a blessing on you. You shall scarcely find room, it says, to receive. And so the elect of God are what? Simply vessels. Oh, come on. Do you want to be something? See, there's the crux of the problem. And we start deviating off on the gospel. When we start to think we have attained or we have some kind of another gospel. It says in the Bible, if you come with another gospel, even an angel comes preaching one, let them be anathema, let them go to hell. No, they may give out to others after they're filled. But they can only give out what God has put into them. No, the blessed vessels. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In the original Greek, the beggarly, beggarly, beggarly poor spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that are merciful. Blessed are those that are pure in heart. Blessed are those that are persecuted for my name's sake, insulted falsely. For great, it says, is their reward in heaven. It's an opportunity to experience Jesus Christ. It says, for they shall be filled. Well, then you've got to start to pour out. Pour out of the Spirit. You got to be able to mourn with those that mourn, be gentle to those that need gentleness, hunger and thirst after righteousness, be merciful, be pure of heart, and allow yourself to be persecuted for His name's sake, and all manner of things happen to you to experience Jesus Christ as Him pouring His glory into your old vessel, and that's the whole glorious gospel of the Lord. They, it says, shall be filled. And so then going on, they may work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, but they can't work it in. God worketh in them, it says, both to will and to do His good pleasure. You can only work out, you can only pour out, you can only pour out what God has filled you with. And so they may at times overrun, let's say overflow with thanks. They may overflow with a joy like a fountain. They may overflow like the song says, peace like a river or love like an ocean. But it's only because Jesus has filled them with grace that they may overflow with holiness. You know, there's a holiness preaching that will come on. That will sort of smack of, well, it says in the Bible, there'll be a strong delusion that will come. And even almost the elect will be fooled. The elect, listen now, the elect are vessels of mercy. Well, are you against holiness preaching? No. But see, you don't become holy on your own. You're filled up with holiness. Holiness is giving out mercy and grace and forgiveness and allowing yourself to be so filled, always constantly and continually filled. There's no room for anything else there. And you'll be so busy. You'll be so busy if you want to give out mercy and love and forgiveness. You'll be so busy you won't have time to be anything but holy, whether you like it or not. See, that's the problem, trying to prove that we're holy. And if we have to try to prove that we're holy by a certain amount of lessons, a certain amount of letter that killeth, but not the word that gives life, and the word that gives life, the water of the word, is that water that's put into that vessel and poured out, then we're nothing. Totally nothing. Be careful when you think you're something. Be nothing at all, the Bible says. See, God and God only is the one that's going to get the glory. They are receivers and receivers only. Have you learned this yet? Have you stood at his door, a raggedy old beggar? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Have you been there? Because of the blood I am made clean. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing that, but do we believe it? Oh, you that are lost, and I must get back to you. Receive the gospel. You legalists, you receive the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive it. Recognize what a stink you create with your long-winded, sanctimonious prayers. See, a lot of times we'll do things to be seen of men. Do you know that in the world they do that? We want to show when we're little boys how tough we are, and sometimes when we're men, we want to show how macho we are. Is that right? And we do that in the Christian world too, to be seen of men. Sanctimonious prayers. Oh God, help these people. Oh Lord, and we get these long, long prayers so everybody can hear it, see. Wailing with one eye open. You want to know what's happening? Your hypocrisy is showing. I was up here, I said it Friday night, I was up on Lowry Avenue, and I hadn't seen this man. I didn't hardly recognize him. His face was so contorted. And he reaches out the window, and all this traffic is going, and there's people, and it intersects up there, and there's a lot of traffic. And he stuck his whole body out of the window. Praise the Lord, brother! Praise the Lord! I just turned around and went in the cafe. Did a wave-o. You mean you didn't praise the Lord with him? No, I don't think we have to just get out there and just totally go nuts. Now, this guy hasn't done anything since he's been saved. Nothing but cause problems. And there he is with his half of his torso out of the car. Pretty near caused a collision up there on the cross thing up there. Scared people. The bus stopped. I mean, the whole place was in confusion. It was a wrong spirit. You ever had somebody say, praise the Lord, and it's a wrong spirit? And the Bible says, let me back this up so I don't get in trouble with these radio audience. Those that never come down here or donate a nickel, them are the ones that gives you trouble. You praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. What's your vessel filled with? You praise me with your lips, and you shout and you yell, and you pray in the marketplace. Well, you really don't mean it. You do it to be seen of men. And so nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Because of the blood of Jesus I am made clean. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Whew. What hypocrisy. You haven't even begun to spell out salvation unless you have learned, first of all, you can do nothing. And you can't be anything unless the Lord makes you something, enables you to do something for Him and for His cause. Learn how to take from God. What does that mean? Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not getting into a prosperity teaching. I'm just going to learn how to take whatever God gives you. God might give you one of these times. God might put you into some kind of a thing. But you're experiencing Jesus in it as the wheel turns. I'm not talking about the old wheel of fortune. Huh? As it's turning, you're experiencing Jesus Christ, the hand of the maker, the hand of the shaper. You were shapen, it says, in iniquity. Born with it from your mother's womb. Jesus takes over. You're a new creature in Christ, a new vessel. Yeah, learn how to take from the Lord. Learn how to take mercy from the Lord. You need it? No, give some to them over there. Gosh, no, I've had enough mercy for a while. If I get much better, I might be raptured out. And there's a few things I want to do yet. No, I don't. I never get enough mercy. How many know you need it all the time? See, if you're not willing to receive His goodness, you are a stranger to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Rome people, they bring prayer, and the formalist brings ceremonies, and the hypocrite brings his profession, I am good, and all of these men mistaken the gospel. The gospel is the plan of not giving to God, but taking from God, so you have something to give. It's not bringing something to Him, but taking from His fullness, drinking from His well, receiving from His storehouse. And I believe this then is just the beginning of your salvation. When you realize these things, then it's the first time you really realize you're saved. And so a warning to all the legalists and the self-righteous. Oh, I am a good person, people. God can't fill you if you're filled with yourself. Your envy and your pride and your gossip and your bitterness and your demonic self. You are a vessel of stagnant self, a dead sea, self-contained, borderline insane. You know why we're called the vessels of mercy? And I'm closing. Because we need it. What does the milk bottle need? Milk. What does the Pepsi bottle and the Coca-Cola bottle for equal time, what do they need? Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. Huh? What do you need if you're a vessel of mercy? Oh, Lord, have mercy on them over there. They're not like I am. What do you need if you're a vessel of mercy? Well, you need to say that word, mercy. No, in order that we may be vessels of mercy, we first must be nasty. We first must be miserable. We first must be sinful. Oh, what are you preaching here? I'm saying if you were none of those things, you weren't those things, you wouldn't need mercy. Any man say he be without sin, there's a liar and there's no truth in him. I mean, God is saying that. Then you're continually going to need what? Mercy. Now, we can give pity to the miserable, but mercy must be given to the sinful. For a judge, in other words, to offer counsel to an innocent person wouldn't make sense. He does not try the innocent. In order to qualify for mercy, you must be sinful and sorrowful. How did you get saved? Who does Jesus Christ come for? Sinners. We say that so it irritates the radio, some of those legalists. Sinners. What did Jesus Christ come for? Say that word. Sinners. Well, to hear some people talk, they just happen to be here in this nasty old world with the rest of these sinners. And guys, what are you doing here? The Lord said. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'll have to go over here and minister to these sinners. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like these miserables over here. Oh, I'll get some letters on this. And I'm glad because, see, people need to know that they're sinners saved by grace or they won't be saved. Did you ever think of it that way? I mean, this is not the Wizard of Oz. He can't pin a meritorious medal on someone to give them courage or whatever. Mighty dangerous preaching, methinks. No, in order to qualify for mercy, you first must recognize that you were a vessel shapen in iniquity, and in your mother's womb were you sinful from your mother's womb. That should help you a little bit with your pride. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was that way. And when some find they have them, when they find out that they qualify, you know what? A prostitute, if you're listening to me, you know why you qualify for this? Your qualifications are you're a sinner. You qualify. You qualify for the race, oh drunk, drug freak, homosexual, lesbian, preacher, unsaved by grace. You qualify. You qualify. All you have to do, that one qualification is to cry out and recognize that you need mercy. Rejoice, because the qualification to be filled with grace is emptiness. Maybe you're out there and you're ready for suicide. And you're so empty and you're so alone, you qualify. I mean, in order to be clothed in righteousness, the qualification is nakedness. New wineskins. What does that mean? It means you can't pour new wine into old pharisaical, legal, cracked, dried up, of no use. Vinegar to the lip. Legalistic. Formal. Preaching. Another gospel. No. In order to be clothed in righteousness, we must first, the qualification is nakedness. In order to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, all you need is the knowing that you need to be. Because the redeemed of God are not vessels of merit, but vessels of mercy. You didn't merit anything. They have been convicted of sin. They are sorrowful, miserable, naked, and know it. And then it is that Jesus shows them and makes them vessels of mercy. I will have mercy. Oh, hearts out there, you listening to me, recognize you are the chiefest of sinners. Oh, hearts out there, how long will you reject the gospel? Empty your vessel. Confess I am a miserable sinner. Forgive me and fill me with mercy. But you say, my vessel is so black and so charred on the inside. Good, you qualify. Someone on the radio called, said, but I am a murderer. No one knows about it, but I am a murderer. I said, sir, you qualify. Moses qualified. David qualified. And why did they qualify? Because they were sinners. Paul qualified. He killed Christians. You say, but I cussed God out. Then you qualify. You are miserable and you need mercy. You say, I committed incest and adultery and sodomy and perverted acts. I have one question for you. Will you receive mercy? Do it, and do it right now. Well, how good it is to receive mercy and lay your burden down. Take your vessel that's so filled with hate and jealousy and murder and perversion and jump into the ocean of His love. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, the Bible says. Know how I remember, now I'll wrap it up here in the next couple of minutes. How I remember that day, just like Debbie, when I became a vessel of mercy. When I knew that my sins were forgiven, because you know why I knew my sins were forgiven? Because I first of all knew I was a sinner. I knew my name was written in the Lamb's book of life, that fair book, forever. And so you come in. The hour of mercy hasn't passed yet. There is room at the marriage feast for one more miserable, raggedy old sinner. And so let's look at the potter at his work. He doesn't put the clay on the wheel of circumstances and leave it. He has a plan. The Bible says He will present you in that final day without spot or without wrinkle. A perfect vessel, a perfected vessel of mercy. How will He do that? To show you that you really need it. When you really need it, you'll be glad to be filled with it. So you're busy pouring it out so you can get some more in there so you don't become stagnant. You'll tear up all of our sin by the roots at that final day. Every sin, it says, will be pardoned. I will remember your sins and your trespasses and your sins no more. Maybe you're just right now, you're looking at yourself and you say, well, I'm just an outline. Well, you're an outline of things to come. God will fill in all the other categories. You remember when you were in school and you had outlines, you had the main title, the main heading, and then you had A, B, C below that, huh? Well, you might say, you listening on the radio, I still have some of Adam's traits. So do I. If you can believe on Jesus, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. A guy called me one day and he says, well, I don't know. Maybe I am a legalist, but that sounds too easy. I know it, I said, but unless you recognize it and do this, you'll be like the elder son, never able to enter in. You who are, and I think people who wonder about every other church person, better not blunder in their wonder. Check out yourself. But anyway, the potter is doing a work with you today here, patiently, lovingly. It's going to go on until eons of time. You know why you're changing, folks? You're changing for His glory. We are continually going to Him to be filled with mercy. And each time that we do go, we are changed. Every time I have to cry out to God for mercy, I'm changed. And I'm learning, well, I'm going to cry out before I need to cry out, before I think, well, I really, everything is going. How's it going? Just great. Well, see, you don't feel like you need mercy. You need it every day. Every single day, cry out for the mercy of God. Because once that potter picks up the clay, he never lays it down. The last point is the potter's mark. Like the manufacturer, he puts a mark upon his vessel. And the mark, I believe, is meant, the mark means the calling. Have you been called? If so, you are the elect. His grace has called you out of the darkness, it says, and into the light. I'm going to leave you no excuse if you're listening on the radio. The gospel message is so simple. I need as much mercy to continue on the road as you do to receive it. And God is going to put the words in your mouth and in your heart, the words I preach, that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and don't get your mind and your eyes on all what's going on TV and so on like that, or Christians or churches or doctrines, put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Do you believe right now that you need mercy? Well, I know I need mercy, and I know everybody out there needs mercy. Jesus said, I will have mercy over sacrifice. So friend out there, you don't have to sacrifice anything, but just put your miserable old vessel up there that God may empty it out. You know how he empties it out? He fills you with so much mercy, he flushes out all that junk. There's nothing that you can do on. You ever try to cast out things out of yourself and cast this out? Ever hold your head in the mirror and cast this out, cast that out? It doesn't work, because God's mercy will go in there and it'll flush out all that garbage. It just automatically comes out. It may take an ocean of his love to do that, but he's willing to do it, to pour in your little pot and just keep flushing it out and flushing it out and flushing it out. Now, that's the gospel message. That's the love of God. I don't know where it went lately, but that's actually what it is. It's God's mercy. Isn't that simple? Isn't it beautiful? And doesn't it make you want to serve God like that? It'll make other people want to serve God, that he'll have mercy. Oh, boy. We leave here, and let's just pray that God would fill us up every day with mercy. I'm not talking about being a phony. And I mean, you don't have to walk around smiling all the time like some kind of an ignorant chessy cat. I'm just talking about that. You ever do something, you're sorry right afterwards? That's because you're a vessel of mercy. Oh, man, why did I do that? Why did I get into this negativeness? Why am I always so negative? Oh, it ain't going to work. This is going to happen. So, well, you're learning, and you're a vessel of mercy. And so you have those times. You're not perfect yet. No, long ways from it. You're never going to be perfect, perfect, perfect. But when you get to heaven, you'll be up there without spot or wrinkle, only because of mercy. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Well, being that I know everybody in here, I won't have an altar call. And remember that his grace is sufficient to keep you onto that hour. Someone wanted to have me make a retraction on that God's grace is sufficient. I said, well, how can I change a dot or a tittle of the word? His grace is sufficient. It's kept me down here for all these years. I mean, if it wasn't God's grace, I wouldn't be here. I would run down the road screaming and pulling my hair out. I ain't kidding you. I'd be a total... And I'm looking at some of this stuff right now. If we don't show mercy, just think what would happen if certain people would get so low and so down that they might commit suicide or do something dumb like that. Could happen, couldn't it? Just think about it sometimes. When you have it within your power to do good and you do it not, that's sin. The deepest, darkest, most horrible sin there is when you have something to give somebody and you don't give it to them. I mean, that's the whole gospel with your food and your clothing and everything like that. And you might not be perfect in the giving of it, but at least you're doing it. You're a vessel of mercy. Don't try to act out the part. There's no acting it out. Just be yourself and God. Be that individual. Maybe you're kind of a cranky giver or you know what I mean, but you're still giving. Maybe you get convicted every time you're that way. Don't worry about it. God's got patience. He's working on you. He's going to change you, whether you like it or not. Some people got heel marks all the way across the kitchen floor because they don't want to change. God will change you. He will. Take it from me, man. I mean, you're looking at number hardhead number one. Hey, God can do it. He is able. Lord, I want to thank you for this day and this message on mercy, Lord. Certainly know we all need it. And we thank you that your mercy endures forever. Endureth forever. Meaning it never runs out. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion, episode 262. That was part two to Vessels. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links, so be sure to check those out. Join us next Friday for Pastor Paul's message, Foundation. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to. to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby or you may call me Zimmy.